Sing Out Magazine was founded over 60 years ago by a group of folks who loved roots music. Today, it's a vital and entertaining resource for anyone who loves folk music the world over. As in the past, thousands of people turn to Sing Out to read about and learn from the artists who play the music. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. The calendar says it's spring here in eastern Pennsylvania, but Mother Nature apparently hasn't gotten the memo. The spring flowers, the crocus and daffodils, are tough little plants. They're trying their best to bloom, but due to a late snowstorm, there are piles of ugly gray stuff all over the place, and the temperatures are not at all seasonal. But the most serious harbinger of spring, for me at least, is the beginning of the baseball season. As I'm recording this week's program, my beloved Phillies are preparing to open the season in Atlanta. This week, we'll welcome the baseball season with some songs and tunes dedicated to the national pastime. Our theme is Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and we just heard trumpet virtuoso George Rabbi from the rendition from the soundtrack to Ken Burns' baseball film. Every game opens with the national anthem, and we'll hear Norman and Nancy Blake playing an arrangement by James Bryan from the album Back Home in Sulphur Springs on Plectrophone Records. It's Batter Up on this week's edition of the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
Just a stick and a ball, and a neighborhood call, and a space big enough for a game. Third base is Eddie's old shirt. Second is Schmidt's Chevrolet. You know I had a shirt double. Just rounding first when Schmidt's mom drove second away. And the grown-ups all sit on the doorsteps, watching us play in the street. And the evening feels lazy as softball as it comes at you slow, sure, and sweet. And it's one, two, three strikes, you're out. Two, three, four balls, you walk. The bases are loaded, I'm standing alone. Come on, give me a sweet one Now bring us all home. These are the best days I've ever known. Baseball on the block. And at night we all listen to our radios and follow each twist of the game. We know all the numbers, we know all the teams, we know every player by name. All those kids who once played in the sandlots did all the stuff that we do with a ball and a glove, a game that we love. We know they're not that much different from you. And it's one, two, three strikes, you're out. Two, three, four balls, you walk. Bases are loaded, I'm standing alone. Come on, give me a sweet one. Now bring us all home. These are the best days I've ever known. Baseball. Fly. It's a one-hit shutout through four. It's a Texas League double. It's a hit-and-run play with one in position to score. And it's the old hit-and-ball trick, a blooper to right. Runners are looking to go. He shakes off a sign, checks the leadoff at first. Wind up, the stretch and the throw. And it's one, two, three strikes, you're out. Two, three, four balls, you walk. Bases are loaded, I'm standing alone. Come on, give me a sweet one. Now bring us all home. These are the best days I've ever known. Baseball on the block. So Willie say, hey, don't you wanna play? Come on, meet me in the street afternoon. Give me low and away, and I'll hit 'em all day. To the man who lives up in the moon. To the man who lives up in the moon. Just a stick and a ball, and a neighborhood call, and a space big enough for a game.
That's why I've got the baseball blues. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, I've been to the store 1, 2, 3, 4 times. I said, hey, mister, have you got any more of them baseball shoes? Because my baby's got the baseball blues. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, every time I've been to the shop, I say, mister, any baseball shoes have you got? My baby's got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I said that I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Instead of the baseballs, will you have me? 'Cause it seems like I'm the only thing that's free. And give up the baseball blues, 'cause you ain't got no baseball shoes. Do-de-do-do-do, de-do-de-do.
Be a tree, wanna make my home with the birds and the bees and the squirrels. They can count on me when I grow up to be a tree. I'll let my joints get stiff, put my feet in the ground, take the winters off and settle down. Keep my clothes till they turn brown. When I grow up, I'm gonna settle down. And I'm gonna read. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, reach for the sky. I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, I'm gonna reach, till I know why. When the spring comes by, I'm gonna get real green. If the dogs come by, I'm gonna get real mean. On windy days, I'll bend and lean. When I grow up, I'm gonna get real green. If I should fall in storm or slumber, please don't turn me into lumber.
It's Batter Up this week on the Sing Out Radio Magazine as we celebrate the beginning of baseball season. A lot of folks in our area know John Gorka, myself included, and I never knew he recorded his first album and then scrapped it and recorded it once again. Last year he released Before Beginning, the unreleased I Know, recorded in Nashville in 1985. It's recorded with Jim Rooney. We heard Branching Out, his song all about wanting to be a Louisville Slugger. That's on Red House Blue Chalk Records. And before that, from Claire Hamill, a song called Baseball Blues, and that's included on Baseball's Greatest Hits. Let's Play 2 on Rhino Records. And before that, when I was a kid, my baseball field had only a left center and a left field, so all us righties turned into pull hitters. And Baseball on the Block reminds me of that. We played for hours and hours on this spare lot just behind my house. Baseball on the Block is from Sermon on the Mound from John McCutcheon on Apple Seed Records. And we let off that set, aptly, with Norman and Nancy Blake from back home in Sulphur Springs and the Star Spangled Banner. That's on Plectrophone Records. I received a recording recently from a fellow named Antonio Andrade, and the leadoff track is the title track, and it's all about baseball. This is Something Happened from Antonio Andrade on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
Back in the day, I was a fourth grade boy. A baseball glove was my favorite toy. My brother played ball like my daddy did too. I kept a card in my cap, Harmon Killebrew. Baseball filled my youngest days, taking throws at second, turning double plays. I sang that song like my grandpa did too, about Walla Walla, Washington, and Kalamazoo. Kids have dreams, what they want to be. Playing baseball was the life for me. Something happened, I'm guessing you know. Bigger than Henry David Thoreau. Waving our caps in that rattle trap, Centralia rivals, Locust Dale and Locust Gap. The chief of police waved and wished us good luck. 15 kids in a pickup truck. Kids have dreams, what they want to be. Playing baseball was the life for me. Something happened, I'm guessing you know. Bigger than the Andy Griffith Show. McGraw pitched for my team, the New York Mets. The 69 series was as good as it gets. Still too young for the Vietnam War. Life began to change in 64. Kids have dreams, what they want to be. Playing baseball was the life for me. Something happened, I'm guessing we know. Bigger than Curly and Larry and Moe. Bigger than the image of Marilyn Monroe. Bigger than Joe DiMaggio. The Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show.
We need a hit, so here I go.
Ball one.
Yay!
Ball two.
Yay!
Strike one.
Ooh!
Strike two.
Kill that umpire.
Yay!
A case of
just a man and not a freak. Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you and I side.
He tied the mark at 44, July the 1st, you know. Since then he's hit a good 12 more. Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you and I side.
From coast to coast, that's all you'll hear of Joe, the one-man show. He's glorified the horsehide sphere, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you on our side.
He'll live in baseball's Hall of Fame, he got there blow by blow. Our kids will tell their kids his name, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
We dream of Joey with the light from back. Joe DiMaggio,
we want you on our side. Of how they stopped our Joe. One night in Cleveland, oh, oh, oh. Goodbye, Street DiMaggio.
Office typist went to a baseball game at Wrigley Field with a couple of her girlfriends, and it was innocent enough. With Ann's future, though, that day would be revealed. Some girls didn't know, were yelling, "Hey, you funny face," to a player who was within shouting distance. There stood her Adonis in the form of Eddie Wakis, who was blissfully unaware of her existence. And it was April 27, 1947. Ruth Ann blew a circuit in her brain. The 27th of every month would be the anniversary of the time she first saw Eddie Wakis play. Every Saturday and Sunday she would ride the L to Wrigley, sit halfway up the line behind first base, 'cause that was his position, and those were the closest seats where she could have the best view of his face. Ruth Ann collected articles and photographs of Eddie. She slept with pictures of him in her head. She learned some Lithuanian to better understand his roots, made a shrine to him beside her bed. Ruth Ann's world was shattered the day Eddie was traded to Philadelphia, and for many days she cried. She wrote him letters often, she phoned and left him messages, but never once did she get a reply. On the north side of Chicago, the Edgewater Beach Hotel, when the Phillies came to town, that's where they stayed. We then made a reservation a month ahead of time. On her calendar, she ticked off every day. The room service daiquiri and a couple of whiskey sours, all three of which she nervously consumed while waiting up for Eddie, who was out late having dinner after starring in the game that afternoon. We then bribed the bellhop to leave a note for Eddie, urging him to come up to her room. 1297A, we then wrote on hotel stationery that had the faintest trace of her perfume. "It's extremely important I see you as soon as possible. Be to your advantage. Let me explain that it was very nearly midnight and the Phillies had a curfew, yet he just kept staring at the name. Cause Ruth Ann was the same name as the woman yet he dated. What on earth would she be doing in town? She surely would have phoned first before coming to Chicago. Eddie called the elevator down. A tall girl answered the door, so Ruth Ann stepped out for a moment. So Eddie sat down by the window in a chair. Ruth Ann said, I got a surprise for you, and it was a pawn shop rifle. Eddie stood up and said, baby, what have you got there? Why'd you do it? Cried a bleeding Eddie Waitkiss. Was over him, lifeless Ruth Ann stood. You've been bothering me for 2 years, Ruth Ann said to Eddie. And if I couldn't have you, then nobody could. Ruth Ann phoned the desk clerk to say she had shot Eddie. That's probably why he did not bleed to death. Baby, why'd you do it? Kept calling from the stretcher, struggling for every precious breath. Ruth Ann told the detectives how she planned on stabbing Eddie, and how then she would have taken her own life. But when Eddie sat down in the chair, the stabbing was impossible, so she used the rifle instead of the knife. And Ruth Ann did 3 years in a mental institution. And they set her free when they said she was cured. And after 4 operations, Eddie Waitkiss did recover. At least you see his name in all the old box scores. But Eddie took to drinking. Turned into an angry man. People often wonder, there were a bunch of rumors, just how well he knew that crazy starstruck fan.
This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine. If you want more information about the magazine, it's easy. Just call 1-888-SING-OUT or check us out on the web at singout.org. You can also listen to the show as a podcast. This is episode 1814. And remember, we're also on iTunes.
Buy me some peanuts. And-
This is The Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. Our theme this week is Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and we just heard Brave Combo from their recording Let's Kiss, the 25th anniversary album from Brave Combo. And if the story of Chuck Brodsky's song The Unnatural Shooting of Eddie Waitkus sounds familiar, it was the basis of The Natural, both the film and the book. The Unnatural Shooting of Eddie Waitkus is on The Baseball Ballads by Chuck Brodsky. And before that, we heard Joltin' Joe DiMaggio, recorded back in 1941 by Les Brown and his orchestra, with Betty Bonnie singing. And there is a portion in there where it sounds like Joe DiMaggio is actually speaking, but he had maintained to the grave that that was not him. That's included on Baseball's Greatest Hits on Rhino Records. And we let off that set with Antonio Andrade and the title track of his recording, Something Happened. And something happened to a lot of us in 1964 in February when we saw the Beatles for the first time on the Ed Sullivan Show. Lots of folks gave up sports entirely. I didn't, but I gave up the saxophone. Something Happened is on LifeShakes.com Records. We're going to open this next set with Amy Madigan and a quote from the Sporting News from the soundtrack to Baseball, a film by Ken Burns. We're listening to baseball tunes this week on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
Great is baseball, the national tonic, the reviver of hope, the restorer of confidence. The Sporting News.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play. And so when Cooney died at first and Burrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought if only Casey could but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake, and the former was a no-good and the latter was a fake. So upon that stricken multitude grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single to the wonderment of all, and Blake the much despised tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had arisen and the men saw what had occurred, there was Blake a safe at second and Flynn a hugging third. Then from 5,000 throats went up a lusty yell. It rumbled in the valley, it rattled in the dell. It knocked upon the mountain top and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was pride in Casey's bearing as he stepped into his place. There was ease in Casey's manner and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. And no stranger in the crowd could doubt, 'twas a Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 10,000 hands applauded as he wiped them on his shirt. And when the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye, a sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in lofty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. Then from the benches, black with people, went up a muffled roar, like the beaten storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" tried someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand with a smile of Christian charity. Great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew, but Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Wrong!" cried the maddened thousands, and echo answered fraud. But one scornful look from Casey, and the multitude was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The smile is gone from Casey's face. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. Somewhere bands are playing. Somewhere hearts are light. Somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Vinny Bulakis steps up to the plate that we made from the side of an old orange crate. He stares hard at the pitcher who's supposed to be great, and he yells, "You can't throw anymore." Well, he should have said nothing. Now we don't have a prayer. When you're small, you say things to remind them you're there. So he tries to act cool as the ball trims his hair, and the guys call it low and inside. Back in the days when the bats were still wood, when we all were big hitters and the pitching was good, when we played 20 innings or as long as we could, and no one was keeping score. Well, the season's not over till you lose every game, or the infield's too muddy from a whole month of rain. So he thinks to himself, "Please don't hit me again," as the pitcher winds up for one more. "Keep an eye on it, Vinny. Don't you swing till he throws. Now you just need a single. If it's wild, let it go. Vinny, let him pitch to you. You can stand on your toes. It's the last of the 12th, and we're down." Back in the days when the bats were still wood, when we all were big hitters and the pitching was good, when we played 20 innings or as long as we could, and no one was keeping score. Then he raises his head and chokes up on the bat. Well, the pitch is a slider, and it isn't so fast. So he swings and starts spinning like a top whirling back, and he nails it to deep center field. There was no one in center. There was no one in right. There was no one at second. They went home for the night. Run, Vinny, run. You sure tagged that one right. But no one was keeping score. Back in the days when the bats were still wood, when we all were big hitters and the pitching was good, when we played 20 innings or as long as we could, and no one was keeping score. Out in the middle of a weed-covered lot, where only slow grounders and the pop-ups get caught, We were all the game's heroes, we were all the big shots, when no one was keeping score. And no one was keeping score.
Saturday summers, when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard, and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains and we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, the strongest played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. Well, I never needed to ask, it was sealed. I just took up my place in right field, playing right field. It's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to me. Here in right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Dragging on, there's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling and I don't know what for. And then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up.
I always played first base because I was kind of chubby and not too fast, but I could play first base. Right Field from Peter, Paul, and Mary from their recording No Easy Walk to Freedom on Gold Castle Records. And before that, we heard from Larry Kaplan from his recording Furthermore, an all-about playing baseball. That's on Hannah Lane Music from Larry Kaplan. And before that, from back in 1909, we heard DeWolf Hopper record Casey at the Bat. It was written by a poet named Ernest Thayer, who was paid for it. It was published in the San Francisco Examiner, and he hated the poem. That's from Baseball's Greatest Hits on Rhino Records, and we let off that set with a short quote from Amy Madigan from the Sporting News from Ken Burns' Baseball soundtrack. Well, I always save this last set for Steve Goodman. Here's Go Cubs Go on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. Oh,
baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing,
go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
They got the power, they got the speed to be the best in the National League. By the shores of old Lake Michigan, where the hawk wind blows so cold, an old Cub fan lay dying. In his midnight hour, the toll. Round his bed, his friends had all gathered. They knew his time was short. And on his head, they put this bright blue cap from his all-time favorite sport. Told him it's late, it's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go. But before I leave the lineup, boys, there's just one thing that I'd like to know. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League. Told his friends, you know the law of averages says anything will happen that can. That's what it says. But the last time the Cubs won a National League pennant was the year we dropped the bomb on Japan. The Cubs made me a criminal, sent me down a wayward path. They stole my youth from me, that's the truth. I'd forsake my teachers to go sit in the bleachers in flagrant truancy. And then one thing led to another, and soon I discovered alcohol, gambling, dope, football, hockey, lacrosse, tennis. But what do you expect when you raise up a young boy's hopes and then just crush them like so many paper beer cups, year after year after year? after year after year after year after year after year. Till those hopes are just so much popcorn for the pigeons beneath the L tracks to eat. He said, you know, I'll never see Wrigley Field anymore before my eternal rest. So if you have your pencils and your scorecards ready, I'll read you my last request. He said, give me a doubleheader funeral in Wrigley Field on some sunny weekend day, no lights. Have the organ play the national anthem, and then a little na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. Make six bullpen pitchers carry my coffin, and six groundskeepers clear my path. Have the umpires bark me out at every base in all their holy wrath. It's a beautiful day for a funeral. Hey, Ernie, let's play too. Somebody go get Jack Brickhouse to come back and conduct just one more interview. Have the Cubbies run right out into the middle of the field. Have Keith Moreland drop a routine fly. Give everybody two bags of peanuts and a frosty malt, and I'll be ready to die. Build a big fire on home plate out of your Louisville Slugger baseball bats and toss my coffin in. Let my ashes blow in a beautiful snow from the prevailing 30-mile-an-hour southwest wind. When my last remains go flying over the left field wall, we'll bid the bleacher bums adieu. And I will come to my final resting place out on Waveland Avenue. The Dying Man's friends told him to cut it out. They said, stop it, that's an awful shame. He whispered, don't cry, we'll meet by and by near the Heavenly Hall of Fame. He said, I've got season's tickets to watch the Angels now. So that's just what I'm gonna do. He said, but you, the living, you're stuck here with the Cubs. So it's me that feels sorry for you. And he said, oh, play that Lonesome Losers tune. That's the one I like the best. Closed his eyes and slipped away. Scotty, it was the Dying Cub fans' last request, so here it is. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy covered burial ground?
Steve Goodman was a great baseball fan, and if radio waves keep going into outer space, as a lot of people think, I hope he enjoyed today's program. We heard a Dying Cub fan's last request, and then from a collection of Cubs songs called Chicago Cubs Greatest Hits, we heard Go Cubs Go, both by Steve Goodman. Hope you've enjoyed our program of baseball music. It's one of my favorite each year. You've been listening to the Sing Out Radio Magazine. I've been your host, Tom Druckenmiller. If you've enjoyed the program, you can get more information about the magazine by calling 1-888-SING-OUT or by checking us out on the web at singout.org. The Sing Out Radio Magazine is produced at the Little Cat Records Studios. Join me next time for another trip into the fascinating world of folk and roots music on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is episode 1814.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the evening. love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
If I had a song,
if I had a song, I'd sing it in the morning, I'd sing it in the evening, all over this land. I'd sing out danger, I'd sing out a warning, I'd sing out a love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Well, I got a hammer and I got a bell, and I got a song to sing all over this land. It's the hammer of justice, it's the bell of freedom, it's the song about love between my brothers and my sisters all over.